Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we are going to find out about some things happening at the city of Astoria. We'll be talking with Barbara Fryer. She is the city planner for the city of Astoria, Oregon. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning.
And we'll be also speaking with Meg Leatherman. Meg is the new community development director. She's been in Astoria since May. Good morning, Meg.
Good morning.
Well, I'm delighted to have both of you on the phone today. I know how busy you are. However, there are some important things happening in the city of Astoria that we want the listening audience to know about. And before we, though, talk about those things, let's please learn a little bit about each of you and your background and what brought you to Astoria. So, Barbara, why don't we start off with you?
Okay, so I have been a planner for well over 20 years. I started in endangered species planning and moved into transportation planning and road and bridge benefit districts and kind of branched out from there. I was kind of a jack of all trades in the city of Beaverton. I worked on environmental issues. I worked on historic issues. I worked on public involvement, and I initiated the urban renewal district for the city of Beaverton, which required a vote of the residents per the charter, and it passed, and the Urban Renewal District is up and running, and I'm really proud of that achievement. And what brought me here is I have fallen in love with the North Coast over the last 20 years when I've been vacationing here. And when the job opportunity presented itself, I said, I want that job. And I jumped at the chance, and thankfully I got it, and I'm very happy to be here. I live here in Astoria, and I love it.
And I you have been in Astoria for about a year, right?
I'm sorry?
And you've been in Astoria for a year, more or less.
Yes, yes. And I love it, and I love the challenges of working here. There's such a variety of issues and opportunities for engagement with the public and different types of applications, and I love it. It's challenging, it's fun, it's interesting, and I couldn't ask for better people, both in the community and here at work.
Well, that is great to hear, because Astoria has a population of, at least this morning, that said as of 2018, so that's a couple years old, that we have a population of 9,976 people, and most of those people, well, in fact, all of them, they have opinions, and so we have an engaged citizenry, which is actually a wonderful thing.
I agree, and I really appreciate that there are so many people that are interested in government, interested in their community, and are willing to come out and participate in it.
Good, and we'll talk about the difference between city planning and community development after we introduce Meg to the listening audience. So Meg Leatherman, Astoria's new community development director, please tell the listening audience a bit about yourself.
Okay, hi. Well, I grew up actually in Columbus, Ohio, and got my education there. I received a master's in city and regional planning from Ohio State, and then after that, I decided to move to Idaho just for a different experience, and I love the outdoors, which there's lots of opportunities for that further out west. After that, I worked for the private sector in planning for a couple years in Boise, and then in 2006 started my public planning career at Ada County, which is the county seat for Boise. And I worked there as a planning and a planning manager until 2012, where then I became the director, basically the community development director for the department, and oversaw about 30 folks there. And I have a passion for planning in general, all the different aspects of it, and we could probably get into that a little bit later, what planning is and when I say that. But then in May, I moved to Astoria and have just been here for a couple months now, basically started at the beginning of June at the city. And in learning everything, everyone has been so welcoming. The community is absolutely amazing. Of course, I know I came during the good weather, too, I've heard, the good time of the year to be here. I was definitely warned several times that it rains because Boise has a different climate, as we know. but Columbus, it rains a lot in Columbus as well. Probably not as much as here, but close to the same amount of rain in Columbus. So as community development director and why I decided to move to Astoria, I just fell in love with the culture and the uniqueness that I saw in Astoria from the couple of times that I had visited here in the area. I could tell that there was very concerted efforts towards making sure that the community retained its uniqueness, its character, its heritage, but also at the same time was still moving forward into the future and keeping the economy active and alive. So that was really attractive to me. And in addition to the lifestyle that's here, a city of Astoria has everything really that you could want in a city, but it's smaller and on a river that's just so gorgeous and has such a cool history. So,
well, I think we're very lucky to have both of you, and it sounds like Astoria has already worked its magic on you. And so let's talk a little bit about the difference between being an Astoria City Planner and the Astoria Community Development Director. So, Barbara, why don't you talk a little bit about what your department does? What does it mean when you say you're an Astoria City Planner?
So, for me, I am the person that works with applicants who want to come in and do a project. So, if somebody wants to do exterior alterations on their historic home, I'm the one that they come to, and I help them through the process. Applications for bigger projects also come through me. When they go to the Planning Commission or Design Review Commission or the Historic Landmarks Commission, and I process those applications. I write findings, so there is criteria in the development code, and in order to approve something, I have to make findings that application meets the criteria. I've also worked on a few amendments to the development code to either comply with state law or to respond to citizen requests. So that's kind of what I do in a nutshell.
I could say that community development actually is the department, and planning is within that. It's a division within community development. So is building and also economic development. And we also do, as part of economic development, lots of grants. And we have the urban renewal districts that are really a big component of economic development as well. So in planning, it's, with community development, it kind of oversees all of those things and making sure that they're all kind of connecting and meeting the same vision and goals that are outlined in, like, the comprehensive plan that the city, that the state mandates and the city has adopted. And so Barbara and I actually work really closely together because planning is somewhat of the first step. When you're wanting to do a project, you need to think, okay, what is the use? is this use allowed in this zone where I live or where I want to construct a new business or enhance a building and do a different use inside a business? Planning needs to ensure that that's allowed there, and then it moves on to then engineering, which is separate, but we work really closely with them as well to make sure our sewer and water lines and everything are sized correctly. And then it goes to actually building in the vertical structures that go up after that. So planning is somewhat of the first stop, and is a little bit more of, is this use going to be compatible, and does it meet the vision of the city?
Exactly. And as the things change in our world, certainly there's a lot of change right now, and there are population dynamics happening, and then clearly you have to look at the comprehensive plan, and there have to be some changes too, which is why you have opportunities for the public to weigh in on issues. And so perhaps, unless you want to talk more about how the departments interact with each other, you might want to now talk about the geohazards ordinance, for example. Like, what is that for someone who knows nothing about it?
Yeah, that's a great idea. And just so I can add on to one statement you made, which is that we are very, very much focused on public engagement and public comment. And it has been something that is obviously much more of a challenge now because of the COVID-19 pandemic. But one of the, like you said, both Barbara and I, are one of the things we loved about this community was that, you know, the public is so engaged, the community members are so engaged, and we want that to continue through this harder time as well. And so we have ways that we're enabling that, but we also would welcome feedback if people have ideas. But in addition, we really, really want to encourage people to continue to be involved and engaged with the city as much as possible, because we still are doing business and there still are opportunities for your voice to be heard. And it's so important because that is what makes a community a real community and maintains itself, its character, and its uniqueness, because we can't know every single inch of the city, and so we rely on those comments.
Yes. I would agree with that, Meg. And I think one of the things that we do as planners is we try to reflect the community's desires and their vision for the future. And within the confines of different laws that come through, and how do we make it personal for this particular community? And I think that's the most important part of public involvement, is trying to understand and hone in on how to make something that may be mandated from another agency personal to this particular community. And in light of that, we had we tried something new. We had an online open house for the geohazards ordinance. Geohazards are prevalent throughout Astoria, and this is an attempt to find a way to inform and provide opportunity for property owners to understand how actions such as land use actions, so movement of dirt, movement of digging, trenching, moving building area, and how to add a deck so that the actions that a person is undertaking minimize the risk of a landslide. And so we are moving forward with the results of that online open house at City Council on Thursday, July 16th. I encourage everyone to Zoom in or listen in. The meeting starts at 1 o'clock, and we're going to announce the results of that online open house at that time. And we really appreciate the people who have participated so far, and we welcome additional comments. We are in the drafting stage of this particular ordinance, so nothing is final, nothing is set in stone yet. And we've been working closely with the engineering department. And then once we get a close to final draft, we're going to have it reviewed by some geotechnical professionals and also the Department of Land Conservation and Development and the Department of Geology, Mineral Industries, so Geology and Mineral Industries, DGAMI. That way we get both public input and agency input on how all of this can come together and provide a means for people to minimize risk of landslide hazards.
So it sounds like a geohazard ordinance was necessary. We didn't have something that addressed this. And primarily, it sounds like it's relating to landslides. And so obviously, property owners are going to want to understand. So this ordinance gives them guidance with the best scientific knowledge about, you know, how the best way to proceed is to avoid some sort of hazard that might occur as a result of their actions. So that's why the geohazards ordinance needed to happen. And so you're still in process and people need to be involved. And how would they sign up for that Zoom meeting if they did want to, which is tomorrow, Thursday, July 16th at 1 p.m.? How do they do that?
So on the city's website, at the top of the ribbon, there is an opportunity to click on live stream.
And that takes
you directly to the page that gives you instructions on whether you want to Zoom in or call in. You can call in and participate, or you can call in and just listen. So there's an opportunity for the Zoom, so you have interaction and you can participate by raising your hand. There's a button to push in Zoom. Or you can do the audio through your phone, and there's an option also through the instructions on how to participate that way, or you can just listen. There's a third option of just listening to the presentation.
Excellent. That's important. So tomorrow, 1 p.m., Geohazards Ordinance. And the website looks very simple. I'm on there right now, and I can see how to do it. So if you have just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn, and today I'm talking with Barbara Fryer. She is the city planner for the city of Astoria, and Meg Leatherman, who is the community development director for the city of Astoria. And we've been talking about the geohazards ordinance, and there are a couple of other ordinance amendments I want us to talk about, but let's briefly hop on, because we're about halfway through the show right now. Let's briefly talk about the fact that you also have had to make some changes to accommodate businesses because of the COVID challenges, temporary pilot program, outdoor tables. You want to just briefly address that before we talk about the three other ordinance amendments?
Briefly, I just want to state that during these times, we realize, you know, it's unique. It's a unique time, and we want to ensure that the businesses that are existing here can remain, and we're not losing businesses. So we are trying to make some accommodations for them due to the additional spacing requirements and face mask requirements that the state has put out there, and also at the same time to keep people safe. So Barbara actually worked on the tables and chairs pilot program, and so I'll let her kind of elaborate on that since she wrote it and took it to council.
So the pilot program is to allow for tables and chairs to be located in the right-of-way, so in the sidewalk. As long as there is a 6-foot pedestrian path for Americans with Disabilities Act passage, people can place their tables and chairs out in the sidewalk, maintaining that 6-foot clear path, and proceed without getting a permit. Previously, we had a requirement that one would need to come in and get a permit. If a business needed to vary from that 6-foot requirement, they would need to come in with a permit, and we could work with them on identifying where the passageway could be expanded and contracted. But for the most part, it's a clear and objective way of allowing a business to put out tables and chairs without getting a permit.
And this helps them because, I don't know if this is obvious, but because they're having to space folks inside the businesses, you know, at restaurants and such, and this just gives them a little bit more room to be able to do that outside since the weather is so good right now.
Yes, we want to support our local existing businesses, that's for sure. So you all are being proactive and working with the community in that way and all the downtown businesses. So let's now, because we only have about 10 minutes left, so let's now talk about these three other ordinance amendments which you want the public to know about. And maybe the first one you want to address is the accessory dwelling unit.
Yes. So this is Barbara again. In the legislative session in 2019, the legislature changed the rules for accessory dwelling units. And what they did is they said that we can no longer require additional parking. We can no longer require owner occupancy of the primary unit, and we can no longer require additional land area for an accessory dwelling unit. And so we're in the ordinance amendment stage of applying that state law to Astoria. And so we have until December to get it approved through City Council. We're moving forward. There is a public hearing at the Planning Commission on July 28th at 6:30 p.m., and you would follow the same instructions to Zoom in if you wanted to participate. The amendment also includes some changes to definitions to allow for a greater understanding of different dwelling types. So we're adding language that includes things like single room occupancy. I don't know if you know that there are a couple of locations here in Astoria, and in the history of Astoria, there have been places where cannery workers have lived that were single room occupancy. So you would have a room, and then your restroom and your kitchen facilities were shared. We're trying to find ways to allow that to happen again as housing needs are expanding. Also, there are things called micro housing where people want a smaller unit and want to spend their money in different ways, typically on an experience instead of on housing. And so they're willing to and want to live in a smaller housing unit, so a very efficient housing unit.
It sounds like this amendment on the accessory dwelling units is actually easing restrictions. Things have changed because there's a need for housing. And so now, you know, it's going to be easier for people to build internal units, garages, separate units. And so this is obviously something which could create some controversy, or it definitely needs to have public input and engagement, because then, because you have the whole, you have an Airbnb situation, you have, you know, so what are, so I think that's a really important thing for people to know about and to be involved with. And we only have a few minutes left, and I know you also wanted to talk about the other two ordinances about the places of worship, so kind of let's quickly talk about those as well. We could do a whole show for an hour here and talk about all these things, but let's also talk about these other two ordinances, please.
Okay. Briefly, I just want to say that accessory dwelling units are different than Airbnb. Accessory dwelling units are 30 days or more rented out, so they're intended for housing for people to live in, not to visit Astoria. So I just wanted to clarify that real quickly. The other two amendments have to do with places of worship, and it provides a mechanism for places of worship to apply for what's called a conditional use permit, which requires a hearing in front of the Planning Commission so people can come out and testify on these two types of projects if a place of worship applies for the application. The first one is a warming center. So we have experience with the existing warming center at the Methodist Church, and we have developed regulations to allow for that to happen at other places of worship, provided they meet clear standards that we've set based on the experience that we've had with the current warming center. The other item is a request from a place of worship where a pastor had passed, and his last wish was that his ashes be interred at the church. And so it's called Columbaria, and it's a structure that's built to inter ashes. And so both of those amendments are conditional, are proposed as conditional uses associated only with a place of worship that has already received a conditional use. So it's it provides for additional review when somebody comes in to propose those two projects.
Okay, so the additional warming centers, possibly conditional use situation, and a columbarium for urns.
Yes.
And at places of worship, and people can find out more information about this at the July 28th Planning Commission at 6:30, which will also be Zoom, so people can be involved that way, correct?
Exactly. You've got it perfectly. Thank you.
Oh, good, good. And then we want to mention that there are free masks. The fire department is giving out free masks tomorrow, Thursday, correct?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. All right, we have a couple of minutes left, so any last things? I'm sorry this show went so quickly, and we could talk for a much longer time, but any last things that you all would like to let the listening audience know before we have to end the program?
I think that just the last thing would be to say that for the accessory dwelling unit amendment, it's really to provide needed housing for people that are just having a tough time trying to find housing here in Astoria. And we really appreciate people who are willing to build an accessory dwelling unit, whether it's the basement of their home or maybe their attic space or above or in the garage or a second building on their site. To provide this housing that is in short supply.
Okay, thank you. And anything else?
Yep, just please, the public, community, we'd love to hear from you. And we're still doing business. The City Hall is closed, but we can schedule appointments, and we are taking phone calls and emails. But, yeah, please participate either that way or through one of the Zoom meetings. We would really, really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you both so much. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Meg. I feel we're very fortunate to have you in Astoria. So good on you for the work you're doing. It's challenging, challenging, challenging during not only this particular time, but also any kind of growth. And we want to maintain the character of Astoria, certainly. So yeah, you have challenges ahead. But thank you so much for making time to be on the program today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And my gratitude to Nevada and Graham for making this possible through this technology, and also many, many thanks to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today, right now. Let's just do it together right now. Let's all take a very deep abdominal, deep healing breath. It is so good for body, mind, and spirit, and certainly when we're living in these times of anxiety and confusion and uncertainty. So give yourself the gift of breath throughout the day, and then with gratitude, focus on the things that are going well in your life. There will always be things that aren't going well, but focus on those things that are going well, or that are good, with appreciation, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you. The only one, and for doing the best you can. We all are doing the best we can until we know better. And then be grateful for being here now, in this moment, the only moment that exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.